This world is not my home. I am just passing through. Earthly treasures soon will fade, but I found my hope in you. You are the one I want, you are the one I need. This world can have it all, it can take everything.
Give me Jesus, give me Jesus, the one who broke these chains and took away my shame. There is only one for me.
Hey, 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 hey.
This world is not my home. I am just treasures soon will fade, but I found my hope in you. You are the one I want, you are the one I need. This world can have it all, it can take everything. But give me
Jesus, give me Jesus.
Forever, you are forever. You are the one that I run to. You are my treasure. You are my treasure.
The only lasting thing is you.
You are forever. You are forever. You are the one that I run to. You are my treasure. You are my treasure. Others may fail, but you remain. You are my treasure, you are my treasure. Heaven and earth will pass away, but you are forever, you are forever.
You're forever. Say, give me
Jesus. Jesus, the one who broke these chains and took away my shame.
See,
there is only one for me.
Jesus,
give me Jesus,
give me
Jesus, the one who broke these chains and took away my shame.
Be seated. If you were not here for our first session this morning, I want to encourage you, go online and download it or stream it or do whatever you have to do to get a hold of it. It is a primer on what it means to be apostolic. Amen. What it means to be full of the Holy Ghost. And if you have not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can have that happen today and then consider your part of that message that was taught this morning. God is so good. I am so grateful to be in an apostolic congregation. I am so grateful that God looked beyond my sin and forgave me, washed my sins away, and filled me with His Holy Spirit. Praise God. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. If you're a guest of ours, we want to encourage you to, if you don't have a connection card, to take a moment before you leave and get one from an usher or from the kiosk in the vestibule. Just a few points of information. We just want to, and if you fill it out and turn it in, we have a small gift for you. But really, we want to connect with you. That's why we call it a connection card. We can let you know how much we appreciate your being with us, how much we want you to know that we're glad that you're here and that we want you to feel at home at Calvary Gospel Church. Amen. Amen. And then also, want to encourage you, if you're going to give, you can give online, cgcmadison.org/giving. You can give by snail mail, 5301 Commercial Avenue, or you can text to give, and the number is there, and please identify tithes or offering. And just a reminder that coming up soon, at the end of the end of October, we will have our All Nations Sunday offering, and you can signify that by ANS. We'll give you more information on that coming up. One thing I want to let everyone know is that we did have a new member in the body of Christ this past week. How many of you remember Michelle and Fred Potter? Okay. Michelle called the church and said that her mother wanted to be baptized, and she brought her mother to church, Barbara Clausen, and we baptized her in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. Praise God. And we've seen this happen several times in recent history, where people have just come to Calvary and said, I've heard about this baptism in Jesus' name. I've heard about this Holy Ghost, and I want it. And you know what? God's still doing great things in people's lives. Praise God. So keep that in mind. If you're a guest of ours, we're always ready to baptize. We have a tank full of water. If you need to, if you feel like God has called you to have your sins washed away, and I believe He has, then we can help you meet with Him in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a reminder, this Friday, we will have an all-church prayer meeting at 7 o'clock on October 1st. Here in the sanctuary, we'll be gathering together for prayer. Then also we have coming up special services Sunday, October 10th. Brother Aaron Wright will be our guest speaker. And amen. And then on October 17th, we will have with us Brother Don Hanscom, says missionary evangelist. He's been a missionary. He's been an evangelist. He's been a lot of things in our organization. Currently, he is the coordinator for evangelists for multicultural ministries. And he is a great man of God, and you will be blessed if you will come and hear him speak the word of God. He is one of the elders of the body of Christ, and he has a word for us, I'm sure. Amen. We want to stand at this time, please. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We want to remember Lenny and Kathy Smith in prayer. They're back in Antigua, and they're dealing with some persecution from the government, some pressures being put on them from the government, and the work there, their ability to do the work of God freely is being threatened. So we want to pray for them, that God will keep them and protect them, and that the word of God will be manifest in their ministry. In Jesus' name, if you have a need this morning, I would encourage you, just as an act of faith, to acknowledge it before the Lord and before God's people. And we believe that God knows our needs before we pray, but that we by faith, present them to him in prayer. Let's pray for this service and for the Smiths and for all of these needs in Jesus' name. We love you, God. We thank you for your presence, God, that we know, oh God, that you are here now for so many reasons. One, that you have promised it, Lord, and another, that we can feel your presence. And the fact that the people of God are here is confirmation of what you have promised. We pray, oh God, in this moment, Lord, that our hearts and minds will be filled with faith, that we can pray effectively and fervently, Lord, for the needs that are present here. In Jesus' name, I pray for the Smiths and for the work in Antigua, that the power and the presence of God would be manifest, oh God, all around them, that you would work in the circles of government, that you would work, oh God, in that church, that your anointing would be upon your people, and that the word of God would be multiplied as a result of the circumstances that exist right now. In the name of Jesus, we claim it. We claim, oh God, your blessing for those that have acknowledged their need here in the house of God. And we ask, Lord, that you, oh Lord, would release virtue for the needs that have been expressed, that we may honor and glorify you, Lord, in thanksgiving and in prayer. And we ask for your blessing upon our elder brother Caskey, that he would be strengthened in his voice and in his body to preach the word of God to us this morning, Lord, that our hearts and minds would be open to receive it. And we will give you the glory and give you the thanks and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everyone said amen.
Find me in the valley, standing with my hands held high. The valley will never take my song. Find me in the desert, holding on to you for life. The desert will never take my song. No, the desert will never take my song. And I will praise you, I will praise you. I won't let the stones cry, I won't let the stones cry out. And I will praise you, something in me has to. I won't let the stones cry, I won't let the stones cry out. Find me with the promise, dancing where you prophesy. Still shout of everything you've done. High upon the mountain, I was made to testify. Forever you will have my song. Lord, forever you will have my song. And I will praise you, I will praise you. I won't let the stones cry, I won't let the stones cry. The stronger the pain, the stronger my faith grows, the higher the need, the higher I'll reach, the greater the cost, the more I'll believe for, the longer the wait,
the longer I'll praise,
the stronger the pain.
The stronger my faith,
the higher the need,
the higher the need,
the higher I'll reach,
the higher I'll reach,
the greater the cost,
the greater the cost, the more I believe for,
the longer the wait, the longer I'll praise, the stronger the pain, the stronger my faith grows. Greater the cause.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to say what I planned on saying. It will go right along with what we've heard in tongues and interpretation. But I'm sure that most of you recognize in this worship service that there was a spirit of intercession that moved into this, that God moved upon his people with a spirit of intercession. And then we hear tongues and interpretation, God calling on the people present and everyone whoever hears this message online, present and future, to seek his face. God is reaching out this morning. And I'm not just talking about those who don't know him. Some of us, he's reaching out to us who have not been sensitive to him. God's interceding through his people. He's reaching out through gifts of the Spirit. And I know a little bit about what our elder is going to preach about, and I know that the message is going to be much along those lines. Don't miss this opportunity to respond. If you feel God using you as an intercessor, you don't have to disrupt the service, but continue to intercede. But if you feel God pulling you and drawing you, don't resist, because this is an opportunity for you to receive something from God that he wants more than anything to give to you. So take advantage of that this morning. Amen. Let's pray one more time as we turn it over to Elder Caskey, but we also want to, I forgot to ask for prayer for Pastor Roy. He's not feeling well today. Let's pray for him. It's one of those temporary things that's being passed around the populace right now, so it's not, as far as we know, anything major or newsworthy. But he's not feeling well, so let's pray for him. In Jesus' name, pray for this message. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for your presence here. We know, oh God, that you are alive and real, and I pray, God, for your blessing and your anointing upon our elder, upon our hearts and minds, that we can receive the word that you're speaking to us. We pray especially for our pastor, Roy Grant, that your spirit would lift him up emotionally and personally, but that you would touch his body and heal him and strengthen him, that your name may be glorified in all of this. We praise you and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please welcome our esteemed brother and elder, E.A. Caskey.
Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Somebody shout unto God. Clap your hands, all ye people. Declare victory. Declare healing. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This is an apostolic church. Anytime during this service, you can be healed. Anytime during this service, you can get a direct word from God, because God's in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Overwhelmed by what I feel in this place right now. But God's got a word he wants to share with you. Amen. My title is Listening to the Spirit. Boy, this has been quite an introduction to that. Book of Revelation 2 and verse 29. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Could just glorify God one more time. Thank you, Jesus, for the word. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're about to do. Thank you, Lord. You're talking to us right now. God bless. You may be seated. The book of Revelation is a book of mysteries. 50 years ago when I began the ministry, I felt I understood everything that was in there, believe it or not. It's usually the ignorance of youth. I thought I had the understanding of what the seven trumpets and the seven seals, seven vials. Time we were living in at that time, it was a different world. We were dominated by the thought of Mr. Brezhnev sending us a missile. If you don't know who he is, that's okay. That definitely ages me, not you. He was the head of the Soviet Union, which doesn't exist anymore. We were in a Cold War. Everything about it, we had riots going on, Vietnam Wars. And we thought we pretty well had this thing figured out. We were suffering persecution in foreign countries. Apostolics were under the pressure of Catholicism. We pretty well figured out who the Pope was. He was 666. We had all these things all put together. Nice little neat package. If you ever get on one of my old tapes, hope you never can find one, you'll find me teaching that. Time has changed. And then, of course, along came different events. You know, back then, we really didn't think much about the Islamic world. It didn't exist in our mind. We were a long ways away. Some of the foreign countries did, but we didn't think much about it. And then things started to move in a different direction. And we began to see and experience things that, you know, like 20 years ago, planes flying into the towers. And America, for a moment, began to pray. Maybe this was the end time. We went through different things like Yom Kippur War and Six-Day War. And I remember standing in the stadium, graduating from the university. And that morning that we gathered there, the president of the college, of the university, got up and said, we had scheduled the... actually was the Secretary General of the United Nations was to address that graduating class. That was the morning that the Six-Day War exploded. And Mr. U Thant, who was the Secretary General, didn't come because of the tension that the world was in at the time. Well, things have changed. Mr. Brezhnev had gone. We've had the wall have come down, and I remember when that wall came down in the 80s, how that people just sort of relaxed, said, well, we're going to have peace now. It's all over with, and everything's going to be peace and safety. I've had people actually backslid and decided that they could go back in the world because the tension was off of them. We listed those things, and the views of Revelation have actually been altered because we don't really understand. Now, if you look at the book of Revelation, it's subject to different interpretations. If you listen to some particular teachers that believe the book of that John wrote it in the 65 AD, they believe that John was talking about the fall of Jerusalem. And there's some statements in there that might indicate that. We really don't know when it was written. We think maybe it was later than that. But the particular way that we look at it is things have really grasped our imagination. And I don't think there's anybody here that hasn't read the book of Revelation. And if you haven't, I encourage you to do so. Because it is a very intriguing book to read. I know that some people believe it's the historical picture of the church and the struggles of the church. Some believe it does not even apply today. Others believe that it's the future history of the world that's coming upon it. Martin Luther dismissed the book of James as a book of straw, called it the Epistle of Straw because James says faith without works is dead. And of course, Martin Luther did not believe that you had to do works, but James said if you've got faith, you will do certain things. And he didn't like that. He also called the book of Revelation irrelevant, but at the same time, he called the Pope the Antichrist and related him to Revelation 13. Now, the thinking of the American church has been highly influenced by a man by the name of Charles Larkin. Charles Larkin, in 1919, drew Bible charts. When I used to travel as an evangelist, we would see these Bible charts hanging on the walls of our church. It was pre-Search for Truth. And that's how they would teach, because Charles Larkin developed charts of the Old Testament, New Testament, and particularly he developed one for the book of Revelation. In fact, if you teach any of our Bible charts today, you'll find that they're a great influence of the Charles Larkin ideas. And it showed in there the coming of Christ would take place prior to the beginning of Revelation chapter 5. But over the years, the evangelical church and even the apostolic some have changed their view about the message of Christ's return. Many churches don't even emphasize it at all. And because of the change in the world and other events, there's the unsettled question as to when the Lord is coming back. Will it be before the tribulation? Will it be during the tribulation? Or will it be after the revelation of the Antichrist? I'm not going to even try to attempt any of those answers. So don't ask me after the service, because I won't try today or tomorrow or the next day. The scripture says this: "No, be also ready, for in the hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh." So if you think you're going to put things in a little bit of order and then be ready, I've got news for you. Jesus said, this is not for you to know, but rather just be prepared. Because in the hour you don't think, I'm showing up. That's why when we come to church, this is not the time to play church. This is not the time to relax. This is not the time to stay home because the fish are biting. It's the time to get serious about your relationship, my relationship. We know that the book was authored by John, the close apostle to Jesus. One of the reasons we know is because he loved seven. If you read the book of John, he has seven miracles. He has seven dissertations. He has seven I ams. He loves seven. The book of Revelation is full of seven. Seven churches, seven seals, seven trumpets, seven. So it follows that particular pattern of John's understanding of God. But the book of Revelation is really not about future. The book of Revelation is stated in chapter 1, verse 1. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by the angel unto his servant John. To speak of the future history has merit. But really, the whole idea of the book is to reveal Jesus Christ, not as the defeated one, the crucified one, the rejected one, the despised one, but the one who was dead and is alive forevermore. Notice in the book of Revelation, there is no mention of nail-scarred hands. There is no mention of nail-pierced feet. There is no mention of a riven side. But we are told he has hair white like wool, eyes as a flame of fire, a sharp two-edged sword coming from his mouth, his feet like it was brass that just came from the furnace, and his voice like the sound of many waters. His face is shining like the sun. His hand holds seven stars, and he stands in the middle of seven golden candlesticks. Do you notice there is a difference? This is the revelation of what he is. He's no longer dead. He's alive. He's no longer subject to the things that we commonly think of him. He's not hanging on a crucifix. He's alive. And this church declares, we're not worshiping the dead Christ. We're worshiping the living Christ, the one that is alive forevermore. So majestic was his appearance that John fell at his feet as flesh. He recognized who he was, but he said his visage was so fantastic. His instruction was to John, I'm alive, but I want you to write to seven particular churches that are located in what then was called Asia and now would be called Western Turkey. These churches were called seven lampstands in the world. When God looks at a city, he's not impressed by its beauty, its art, or its education. He looks for the church, and he says, that is the light. It's not the medical field, it's the church. It's the lampstand that's in this city right now. Interestingly, is the word church, called the ecclesia. That comes from a Greek word. It is a Greek word, and I'm sorry if I mispronounced it, Phil. But it means the called out ones. And it comes from a Greek understanding that when they would set up the government of the city, they would pick people. They were called the ecclesia, that would set the policy and direction of the city. So when God called his people a church, he didn't call it just something small. He said, you're the lampstand. You're not only the lampstand, you're the ecclesia. You will set the direction of your city. So it's time for the church to begin to believe what God believes about the church. That it's not defeated. It's not run over. It is the body that sets the direction for the city. Hallelujah. And he sends his message to the angel of the church. Some translations seem to indicate this was the bishop or the pastor of that particular church. They would be given a message to be shared with their congregation and group, and this message was to be enforced. You see, the church is the only thing God is really concerned about. The rest of the world, the government, wealth, education, and evil will pass away. But the church is going to be with Christ, and he will never die. What I'm not trying to tell you is this. This is why we meet to make a decision today to get into the church. Don't sit on the outside. Be born into the church. An early pioneer of the apostolic church back in the early 20th century, his name was Elder G.T. Haywood, wrote a song Are you in the church triumphant? Are you in the Savior's bride? Come and be baptized into the body and forevermore abide. Here's the message. Get baptized. Get in the church and stay in the church. Because this is the only thing that's going to endure. I hear a lot of people praying for the government, and so we are commanded to pray that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life. That doesn't always mean that it will go the way we want it to go. But we are to pray for the church. And as the Holy Ghost has been speaking today, He's trying to indicate to us, He's trying to tell us to listen. Because He's trying to get our attention. This is an important message, what the Spirit is saying. Now I believe, some people believe these churches represented ages. I can see that. I really think that these churches, seven churches, are representative of the church body today. Every church has a personality. People in the churches have personalities. And sometimes they act just like these churches. So sometimes you can find yourself listed. So that, unfortunately, that's me. I don't know if I like that. But every so often I find myself there. And that's good, because God's trying to, this book is not a dead book. This is a living book. So I'm just going to take a few moments, and I'm just going to touch on a few, because there's by no means could we ever cover all seven churches on a Sunday morning, especially when we got to be out of here in 10 minutes. Ephesus, a powerful church founded by the Apostle Paul, pastored by Timothy and later by the Apostle John. Established about 54 AD by the Apostle Paul himself. Received a letter marked in our Bible, book of Ephesians. This church was noted for holding to doctrine. It rejected false doctrine, false apostles. But Jesus said, I got a problem with you. You've left your first love. Now, if you would look at this particular city, this group of people was the best of everybody in town. They were not idol worshipers. They were not immoral people. See, you know, why does God talk to the government? No, God talks to the church. The best people in town. You don't believe that, you're in the best church in town. And so God's going to talk to this church. Because if you're the best, He's going to make you better. Because He wants you to be more like Him. So God didn't talk to the idol worshipers. He didn't talk to the immoral people. He didn't talk to the corruption of the city government and the merchants that were making money by selling overpriced images of the goddess Artemis or Diana. But He talked to the church. And He talked to that church because He wanted them to understand something. They left their first love. Now, a lot of people try to figure out what this first love was. And so I'm going to, my feeble attempt, I want to just submit something for your consideration. John said, if a man say he loves God and hates his brother, he is a liar. The way you test your love for God is how you love your brother. So when you leave your first love, you begin to pick on faults in your brother. Love overlooks faults. Love will confront faults, but love doesn't put them on social media. Love forgives, but love doesn't bear grudges. Love does not think evil about his brother. Love does not listen or repeat lies. And as I said, love does not post derogatory statements about a brother or sister on social media. 1 Corinthians 6 says, are you taking your brother and sister to the court? Shouldn't you be judging that among yourself? Well, I know I'm tampering. But I'm talking to you. The Spirit is talking to the church. Why is there no revival? What are we talking about? Are we speaking about the things of God or complaining about some little minor detail because our little feelings got hurt and that's why we're grumbling and not coming to church? That's all your church is about. You're in the wrong church because this church has got a marching orders and this church has got some orders that says the world needs the message and they don't need to hear about our faults. They need to hear about our God. You see, this church had fallen from its first love and it said, if you don't repent, I'll remove you from as a candlestick. If you look at the history of the Ephesian church, it didn't last long after this was written. It wasn't long until, from what history we have, it was in false doctrine and its candlestick was removed. Another church I want to point out to you is Thyatira. I'm running out of time, so hang on. Full of good works, charity, service, patience, and more good works, but it had a problem. There was a false prophetess in the crowd. See, back in that particular town, if you wanted a good job, you had to join a guild. It was sort of like a labor union, but different. Because this guild was associated with an idol. And in order to be a part of the guild, you had to go to the temple and be involved in their debauched worship. So, if you wanted to feed your family, because if you didn't join the guild, you were on the outs, nobody would bring you business, you were not protected. So therefore, it was a big decision of literally, can I feed my family and live, or do I take the way of the despised few? And so there was this gal that the Bible calls Jezebel. Now, it wasn't the Jezebel of the Old Testament, but it was the same spirit. You see, Jezebel of the Old Testament, when she came in under Ahab, she was determined to literally wipe out the name Jehovah from the people of God. And she forced them to kiss the image of Baal. She had a problem. 7,000 people wouldn't do it. And there was one guy who just plain got mad and said, I'll prove to you the God of Israel is bigger than your God. And so in the showdown, she discovered that the God of Israel had a God of fire. And her God of fire didn't have any fire. And so Jezebel changed her tactics and she became a compromiser and taught compromise. That it's okay if you've got your God, but you can love this God as well. So became a compromise, and this is what this old gal, who old Jezzy babe in Thyatira started to teach. Honey, God knows your kids need to eat. It's all right for you to join the guild and do that. You know, God forgives, and he knows your heart. Boy, can we make some excuses for what we're doing. Thyatira, the Spirit's talking. And maybe it's talking to you about this. Because compromise, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. Beside that, God forgives. And I know somebody else is doing it as well. If God has called you, he's expecting more out of you. Because he's got something better for you. And he says to them, you better be faithful and hold fast. Quickly, last one is Sardis. Sardis was a city set on a hill. It had a history of wealth and power. In fact, there was a king came from this area. He's in mythology. We call him King Midas. And there was a King Midas. And he was very wealthy. Now, he didn't do what the myth said, but he did have a lot of wealth. And God writes to this one and says, unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, This thing saith he that has seven spirits of God and seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that livest and art dead. This was a church living on its past history. Just like the city of Sardis was living on its past history. It was a wealthy, influential city, but by the time this letter was written, it was a has-been. It was dilapidated, run down, but all they could talk about was the good old days. Dear brothers and sisters, it is good to have a history of blessing. It is good to recall the past times of a move of God, but that's the past times of a move of God. And I just can't stand around and say, well, I remember when I was younger. As long as I've got strength, I've got to declare to you these words. The past is a blessing. It's a history. But you can't live on your past. I must have an anointing for today. This church must have a revival for today. You and I must have a renewal in spirit for today. Because the scripture said, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast. Oh, that's another church I'm just going to mention briefly. His name is Philadelphia. We love this church because it was so perfect. Oh, there's nothing bad said about it. Wait a minute. Nothing bad is said about it. But this is said about it. I've set before you an open door that no man can shut, but you have little strength. Meaning that church was given great opportunity, but was struggling to get the courage to walk through the door. Now, he didn't stop there. This is the only church where he says the next thing, and that we find in chapter 3 and 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, lest no man take your crown. While they were hesitating at the door, God said, look out. Somebody else is going to go through that door while you stand and watch. I know they get a little heavy right now. But folks, let's understand something. God has told this church, I love this church. God has placed me here. And I'm not trying to take any pastoral position. But since I've got the pulpit, I'm going to preach this. God has spoken to this church about what he wants to do. Are we willing to go through the door? Or just stand around and wait for it to happen? The door is open, God said. It's time to go through the door of the... Hallelujah. If you're not in the church, I urge you, make your decision today. Because today is a day of repentance. Today the waters of baptism are troubled. Today God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. And if you're in the church, don't base your faith on the political climate. On talk radio, CNN, Fox News, or any internet. Base it on the book. That is what's going to last. And he said, behold, I am coming quickly. And the question I must ask myself as I ask this church, what am I doing to see this precious gospel being spread to the world around me? I'd like us to stand, and I want the Holy Ghost to start speaking to you right now. Because God is talking individually. Right now, we don't need a tongue and interpretation. Right now, we need to individually respond to what God is saying to us. Wherever you're at in any of these church situations, if you've lost your first love, if you're getting bombarded by, if I could say, compromise, if you're living on the past, or if the door is open and you're struggling to get in, today is the day to let God know you're serious about being in the church triumphant. Right now, would you let the Holy Ghost start to speak? And if you're here and you feel God is talking to you, I'm asking you to start coming to this altar. I'm asking you to start moving this way, saying, maybe it doesn't, yes, everything I preach applies to somebody because that's how the Word of God is. But I want you to start moving forward, coming closer. Just don't stand in the back. I'm urging you to fill this altar up because God is not done. This is the old evangelist in me. I want people to start coming. Come near and let God begin to do a miracle. There's signs and wonders that God wants to perform right now. Amen. Your sickness doesn't have to stay in your body. That fear, that anger doesn't have to be welling up within you. It's time to be renewed in the Holy Ghost. It's time to be renewed in the Spirit. It's time to let it all lay at His altar and say, God, it's your turn. I'm going to step through the door. I'm going to step into your presence. I'm going to step into your joy. Hallelujah. Go ahead and let them cry out in the Holy Ghost right now. Let the Holy Ghost begin to just intercede. Because that is what has been happening around here. Is a spirit of intercession that's coming upon the congregation. Hallelujah. Lift up your voice, folks. Lift up your cry. Oh, thou that dwellest in the presence, come among us right now. Let your angels minister right now. Let the power of God be revealed. Hallelujah. In the name above every name. So let the Holy Ghost speak. Let the power of God be revealed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
When all I feel is cold,
some joy start coming in this house. Let some anointing start coming in. God, let a call of the Spirit be upon your people. In the name of the Lord.
Not anymore. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. There's a hunger and a thirst. I am desperate. Immerse me. And I'm not waiting. Not anymore. Couldn't ask for more, so I'm coming back to your presence. I'm coming back to your presence.
There's a hunger and a thirst. I am desperate. Immerse me. I'm not anymore. I need you, Lord. I need.
could never satisfy the longing in my soul. When all is lost and hope is dry, when all I feel is cold, so I'm coming back to your presence. I'm coming back to your presence. I feel it burning like a fire, stronger than before. You are the one that I desire. I couldn't ask for more. I'm coming back to your presence. I'm coming back to your presence.
'Cause there's a hunger and a thirst. I am desperate. Immerse me.
Kasky mentioned it. It says, hear what the Spirit says to the church. That message to Ephesus is the one that haunts me the most. To remember my first love. And nothing else mattered but to know God's will and to do it. Whatever message it is that the Spirit is speaking to you, tie this together with the first service. And let's not just be full of the Holy Ghost for this time in church and then go home. To be full of the Spirit means to let the Spirit guide you and use you every day. Hear what the Spirit has to say to you Praise God. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Remember our those that have received the information about the quarterly leadership meeting this evening. Please make it a point to be here for that. We're going to be gathering together again on Wednesday, 7 o'clock. God bless you. Have a great week. Prayer meeting on Friday night. Everyone said, God is good. Say all the time. God bless you.